Yo, what up, Nashville? 3HL is on the air, 104.5 The Zone. Happy freaking Friday, Brent Doherty, and there he is, Ron Slay.
Hey, I'm in the
building. Best believe I'm in the building. Better be ready. I'm in the building. Car ain't got no rules. Time for the show.
You feeling the Friday vibe, Slay?
I am feeling this Friday vibe.
We are literally right next door to where it all unfolded.
That's right.
Ed Hesse Gym.
Oh, that's right.
At Hillsborough High School.
That's right. That's right.
What on earth?
This is my new voice.
Is this Brian Kelly?
Yeah, if he can use a voice, I get to use a voice.
Is this Ron Slay when he goes to Green Hills? Is what he sounds like?
Yeah. I'm just going to pop in and out of voices all day long today.
That's pretty good.
You like actually, it?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's pretty good.
Either. It can be a cartoon.
Is that the voice when you were talking to the police about the fire alarm that you may or may not have pulled at Hillsborough High School?
That could have been. I'm just trying to figure out, man, how do you get to just use a different voice any time in your life? Like, you just go straight into it.
Is that not the weirdest thing you ever heard?
Dude.
What in the world?
How can you switch it that fast, though? That's what's
amazing. Well, here's the other thing is everybody's like, oh, Brian Kelly goes down to the South for the first time and his voice changes. And I'm like, that ain't. People in Louisiana
don't speak
Southern.
No.
They don't totally have a different Southern accent.
No.
So I don't know where. Maybe he picked that up along the way. Like, he drove down because, you know, he had the U-Haul trailer on the back because he had, you know, oil paintings of himself or something that he had to bring down to Baton Rouge. And he stopped at a Stuckey's in, like, Rome, Mississippi or something and developed that accent. I don't know.
Y'all got voices for sale in here? Let me get two of them.
Honk, do you have that? I know we didn't talk about it this early, and I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I am on the spot and ready.
We'll tell you where we are because you're going to want to be here
yes,
for a variety of reasons. And let's go ahead and do that. We're at T-Mobile in Green Hills. Let's take care of business first.
Yes.
We're at T-Mobile in Green Hills, and it's easily accessible. And people are like, Doherty, I've been to Green Hills. That's not easily. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You go around back behind Hillsborough High School.
See.
And then you're on the corner, and you pull right in, which is what we both did, because this is bringing back memories. I went to high school like 50 yards from this building.
We know this area.
We do, and you can too. So try to get around the back. Listen up. Here is what we need to tell you. Gift more cheer this year with T-Mobile and 104.5 The Zone. Holidays are for being together, and T-Mobile and us want you to celebrate the holidays with us. Join us today at T-Mobile store. 3800 Hillsborough Pike on Thursday, right now. Well, that was yesterday. I listened to y'all. Y'all sounded great.
Oh,
I was driving
you
back from Chattanooga.
Huh.
And today, we'll be here until 6 o'clock, obviously. And listen, man, you come before 4, you get a great hot dog from Daddy's Dogs.
Oh.
And this hot dog looks like, I'm about halfway through it, it looks like a television commercial hot dog.
Yeah,
and they're set up in the parking lot, and they'll just give it to you. And then you come inside, you see what T-Mobile's got for you. And they've got interactive games. We've got giveaways, tons of awesome deals from T-Mobile, your hometown network. Celebrate the holidays with us today at the brand-new T-Mobile store at 3800 Hillsborough Pike across from Green Hills Mall and more specifically across from CVS if you've been in the Green Hills area. All right. So your voice changed when you came to Green Hills.
Yes.
Brian Kelly's voice did something when he got to Baton Rouge, because this is Brian Kelly addressing the fans at the LSU Ohio game. Check it out.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
I haven't won all my games yet. I mean, let's go beyond the weird A accent that he threw out there on the floor. Maybe the reverb in the building got him because that can get some people. Like, you start talking, then you don't hear yourself for like a second and a half. Maybe that got to him. I don't know. He says, like, I haven't won all my games yet. Listen, man. I'm not a smart man, but I'm smart enough to know where to put the bar.
Yeah.
You don't put the bar 30,000 feet in the sky.
Like, come on, man.
You did that to yourself, man. You just said you're going undefeated. You're winning all your games. So when you don't win a game, they're coming at you.
Oh, they're going to be on your head, especially for that little accent. I promise you, they're going to play that. They're going to play that back and talk about that little accent first and foremost. Like, dude, you didn't even tell the people on there. The man is from Massachusetts. Like,
he's from Massachusetts. He was in Michigan. Like, he was at Cincinnati. He was at Notre Dame. And now, I'm telling you, look, I love New Orleans. I love going to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I love going to LSU games. I've been to multiple LSU games in Baton Rouge.
Right.
That is a special, special place. But it's a different place, man. It is a different place than anything you will experience in this country. So all these people talking about that Southern accent, the people in Louisiana don't even have a Southern accent. It's beyond that. So
that's silly.
Why does it sound like he watched Fletch 2 on the way on the plane?
Like, why would you do that, man? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, what made you say, Tigers? You ain't
family.
Yeah, come on. I guess somebody told me, man, just draw, have you let the words drawn out just a little bit longer, and we'll see if that passes.
I can't wait to get started. You know, LSU is one of the premier national brands. I'm excited to be your head football coach.
Keep it simple.
I can't wait to get started. Let's go, Tigers. Yeah. That's all you need to do.
And see, guess what? People were looking at Josh Heupel when he got hired, and he was on the air. I mean, he was on at the podium and speaking, and everybody was like, man, he didn't blow me away. But guess what he didn't do? Didn't set that bar way up there that you was talking about either.
Yeah. He didn't sit there and say, I'm going to be – the winningest new coach in Power 5 this year. He didn't say that.
No, he didn't.
He was.
He went and did it.
But he didn't say it.
No, he did not. Watch me. That's what you can do.
Set the bar low, my friends.
Come on, man.
As low as you can.
Come on, Brian Kelly.
As low as they'll let you.
And take as much time as possible. Get the job done. Like, come
That's
on,
why,
bro.
Like, Clark Lee's approach was brilliant.
Yeah.
You win two games.
Yep.
That's two more than you won the program won last year.
Yep.
You set the bar.
Yeah.
Next year, I go win four games. I've won twice as many games.
He's doubling up each year.
And I've extended things.
Yes, you have.
And not that's what he's thinking. Nah, I'm just saying it's funny, but I'm true.
It's trending up.
Yeah.
You can always say, one thing they'll never be able to say is it's trending down.
That's right.
That's what Coach O had to deal with.
All right. So T-Mobile in Green Hills, that's where we are. Yes, and again, you can utilize like Glen Echo and Crestmore and Belmont Boulevard. You can use some other, speaking of Belmont, Belmont and Lipscomb in the Battle of the Boulevard last night.
Yeah.
75th Battle of the Boulevard. And Belmont blew them out, 94-65.
Ooh. Belmont ain't here to play around, though.
Mm-mm. Lipscomb was leading the nation in 3-point shooting. They were held to 5 of 19. Credit Casey Alexander and that extended D to get out there and get hands up because that's how Lipscomb can get you.
Yeah. And I tell you what, Casey is here to make a statement. He got guys back. I think he has maybe the second or third oldest roster in college basketball.
They might be the oldest.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, he like, we ain't here to play around. He said he thought it was going to be a lull this year, but the guys were after it in the offseason and getting to it. So, I can't wait to just be able to talk to him and get his input on it.
There is a bracketology out. I know we're in championship week in college football, and we're going to spend – you know, 187% of our time on that.
Right.
Today. 187, that's funny.
how'd you come over? You're back over by your school. You're getting the vibes. What you got, 187?
Officer Bradford was our guy. He was our police officer that was at school all the time. Missed that dude. He was the one trying to keep everybody from going to all these restaurants in Green Hills during lunchtime.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we're going to spend a lot of time, obviously, on the college football stuff because I think you've got some interesting elements to each of these games that are coming up this weekend, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a hard betting weekend, I think.
Oh, my God.
But we'll work through some of that, too. But the bracketology I saw today, the new one, Joe Lenardi, has Belmont as a 12 seed. So while we're talking about Belmont, I did want to point that out because that's interesting. In all these years, talking to Rick Berg, Casey Alexander, that's the hardest part about being at a school like Belmont is – like, great, you get into the tournament, and that's awesome, and they've had all this success and all of these things, but it's hard to win a tournament game
right.
when you get a 14 seed
mm-hmm.
or a 15 seed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the basketball experts are viewing this team from a power numbers analytical standpoint as more of a 12,
right,
then that's an opportunity.
Yeah. And that's a great spot to be in, too. Isn't the 12-7 matchup
12-5.
Always the 12-5 matchup? 12-5. I mean, that's always the upset matchup to watch out for. So, yeah, that's great position to
be in. It's almost like it's more than 50%, but it's close.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. But that's where your best mid-major teams typically get. And then you've got maybe the underperforming Power 5 team that gets the 5C. Right. You know what I mean? So, like, that's how that happens.
And a lot of parity in basketball right now. It's similar. Well, I was going to say similar in football, but outside of Georgia, it's similar across the landscape. Like, a lot of guys getting upset early on in college basketball. So, going to be interesting going into that, especially going into the spring.
Brett Doherty, Ron Slay, Dawn Davenport not here today. She'll be back on Monday, and you can check her out on television tomorrow. With the high school football deal, we will spend some time on that. I was down there yesterday. Chattanooga, the new host, Slay was down there too.
Yes.
And we can get into that. But when we come back, I want to get your take. Blaine and Mickey were talking about this at the end of the show, and Mickey was saying that he was kind of undecided. He was going back and forth. What do you think about this Georgia-Alabama matchup?
Mm.
I know Alabama's a 6.5-point underdog.
Right.
And that's a pretty severe underdog when you're talking about a game of this magnitude.
Yeah.
But Alabama's never an underdog. So I get people going money line Bama on that Bama's going to Bama and Georgia's going to Georgia and Alabama's going to win.
Yeah.
But Georgia, as you said, Georgia's damn good.
So
we'll talk about that when we come back. Want to get your take on it. Let's get some of you guys to jump on the phones. If you want to talk about that Georgia-Alabama matchup, we'd love to hear from you. Brent Doherty, Ron Slay today on a Friday. We only have one guest today, so we want to go phone call intensive with you guys, get your take on a number of issues, including that one. Georgia and Alabama, who you got? 615-737-1045. Three 1045, the Zone Friday edition. You've got Brent Doherty, you've got Ron Slay.
Hello.
The mayor and Slay Ride.
I'm not ready to Slay Ride.
Dawn Davenport. I was looking forward to Dawn Davenport Friday edition.
Yeah.
She hadn't done that.
Yeah. She saw it was kind of wild.
We get wild and crazy.
Mm-hmm, when we treated Wednesday like Friday last week.
Our guy Krigger says Slay sounds like Lil Penny when he does that voice.
I missed out. I got stuck in the middle. I was going to say, that's my Miss Doubtfire voice.
You hit neutral?
Yeah. I got stalled out. My voice stalled
out. You threw a rod.
Yeah.
Hello.
That was one of my favorite movies growing up. Miss Doubtfire.
Miss Doubtfire, dude. I'm telling you. I know, hey, kids, I know it's an old movie, and they're actually redoing it, I think. That's how old it is. But, dude, you're going to laugh. You're going to cry.
Oh, my gosh. That's one of the ones.
As an adult, you're going to laugh and you're going to cry.
That's a cold movie, man. Cold movie.
By the way, I just verified. Yes, he does sound like Lil Penny.
Hello! Hey, Penny! What do they call these shoes anyway?
It does look
Penny. So who you guys playing tonight anyway?
Minnesota.
Oh, Los Lobos. I guess you're going for the big numbers tonight, huh? Now I want you to work them inside, work them outside. I'm sensing triple double here. Now, Penny. I want to say hello to my man Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett?
Yeah, Garnett. We went to high school together. Tell him Little Penny from the science club says hello. Can you do
science
that?
Science
class. My favorite.
Great commercials, dude.
Hey, tell Tyra she left her toothbrush at my house.
Hey, that's classic.
Chris Rock is the best, dude.
Yeah.
I heard a comic one time, and it's funny because, like, that's one of the businesses where those guys that may act like they like each other, but they really don't because they're really critical about themselves, which makes them really critical of other people.
Right.
But I heard, I forget who it is that was talking about Chris Rock, and he said, look, he's not going to have 120 jokes out here that are going to make you laugh, but his 10 best are better than anybody else.
That's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a great way to break that down, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that gets you from one laugh to another.
Mm-hmm.
And then you remember the 10.
Yep.
Now, to me, basically everything that guy says is funny. But I get that. I thought that was a good way to explain him. But, yeah, those Little Penny ads.
Love it.
Tennessee playing Memphis coming up. I heard you talking about Memphis going into Athens.
Yeah. Man, it got rocked.
What happened there?
Man, I don't know, but
got
I know.
Too much NBA talent on your roster for that to happen.
Can't do that. Uh-uh. Can't do that. Tom Crean came with it. Those guys came to play. I'm going to tell you what. That's going to make that matchup that we're going to be at December 18th a problem. Guard play, I thought was going to be a problem. Now I've shifted that to the front court. I want to see how Fulkerson, Kamwa, Huntley Hatfield, how they answer Williams and Durant. Like, now they got NBA caliber guys on the front line as well, Memphis does. So going to be interesting to see if Tennessee answers the bell, because guard play, I think we win it.
Tennessee's still trying to figure out the rotation, right? Like, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, no. But I mean, they're going through everything. They're yes, going, they are. And this is what Rick Barnes does, and this is what you should do, is they're playing both those point guards at the same time in the last game. And you look at Kennedy Chandler, who had 7 steals in that game.
Yeah.
You ever have 7 steals in a game?
Man, play? I had 4. And I mean,
you
I
had
was,
4?
I was working my butt off. You hear me? I mean, I was gay. That was one of the games I probably had like 12 points because I was
on the 4th steal. Man. Where you're like, hey, man, I need an outlet.
Yeah. That was it for me, though. I don't deny. I'm cool on that.
I love it. Man. Hey, we are building a field of toys to benefit the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels Toy Field presented by T-Mobile, which is right where we are in Green Hills today, is Tuesday, December 7th at Nissan Stadium. So that's coming up. You got this weekend to go get situated with your toys. And we're talking about for kids that are in need, but also seniors that need things as well. So keep the seniors in mind as well. So while you're out doing your holiday shopping, remember those in need this holiday season. Pick up a gift for a senior or a toy and help us build a field of toys at Toy Field on Tuesday, December 7th. For more information, visit 1045thezone.com. Again, in Green Hills.
Yeah.
Come on. My old stomping grounds, man.
It is.
We used to ride our bike down here, man, and Green Hills Mall consisted of, like, Kane Sloan and Castor Knot, and then like a strip mall. It was like I don't know, Sports Seasons and like one of those sound shop places or whatever back in the day. And then Davis Kidd Booksellers was down the street.
They've been on film.
And so you go in. That was a great way to spend some time and grow yourself as a young adult.
Been there reading, just going to read and hang out.
Reading is fundamental.
It is. A lot of people should do it.
And so Hillsborough High School, which is a staple, obviously, you know, we talk about Metro schools all the time and our love for Metro schools. Hillsborough went through something a few years ago about, like, what are we going to do? Are we going to sell this property, which is worth so much money? Or are we going to build and add on, because they needed to add on? So they're building up.
Hmm.
So football hadn't been able to play a home game in, like, 3 years.
Yep. They were playing at TSU for a second.
Yep, and you got Coach Fitzgerald was over there trying to make it work. And he said it's a challenge, man.
Yeah.
But I drove back through the backside, right, to avoid the traffic to get over here at T-Mobile on the corner of Glen Echo and Hillsborough Road, Hillsborough Pike. And I noticed the football field looks great. The softball field looks great.
So
they've got some practice fields. They're working on the baseball field. So hopefully the kids will be back in there. I haven't seen anything on the timetable. I'm just kind of spitballing here as I drove by, but those were some good days with Hillsborough and Hillwood. And I mean, we start naming all the schools, and somebody's like, "You didn't say McGavick." What about Glencliff?
Every time.
So
we don't leave you out on purpose.
3800 Hillsborough Pike. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Come say hello. Get you set up with T-Mobile. This is a fantastic store. They'll be able to help you with all of your digital needs, your phone needs, and all of those things. And we've got hot dogs outside.
Daddy dogs.
Daddy's dogs. Serving lunch until 4 p.m. We both had one. I had the Music City. You did, too?
I had mine. I finished mine probably about 2. Nah, I ain't going to lie. About 3:45.
I'm still working.
About 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Yeah, don't worry about it. I got it down. And I had me dessert, which they don't have over there.
So we were talking about some of the betting lines. It's going to be a tough weekend, I think, to find value in number. Now, that doesn't mean you can't win. But a lot of weekends, there's so many games that I think it's hard for the guys putting the lines out there when there's 65 games. It's a lot easier to get tight lines when it's 15 games, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at Georgia and Alabama, and you're looking at Georgia by 6.5. There is a trend to maybe take that to 7. I don't know if it gets there. But what do you think about that matchup, Georgia and Alabama?
So that's going to be a part of the parlay. So pay attention to that when we come up about 5:45. Make sure you tapped in. But thinking about that game, listen, man, I said about 3-4 weeks ago, Georgia's made me a believer. I believe in exactly what they're showing me because they do it week in and week out. And I think what coaches want to see, fans want to see, bettors want to see is consistency. It makes it easier. And that's exactly what we're getting. Like, every single week, you just bet the under. If you don't feel comfortable betting the spread, I promise you. I wonder what the percentage is on the under for Georgia games, man, because that defense is stingy. And I say that because
it may be 100%.
Yeah.
I don't remember at the beginning of the season, because that's when you're still trying to feel things out. Yep. But I remember, like, midway through on, I bet it every week and won every week. So, like, Ole Miss was another team, like, you had a really good read on.
Mm-hmm.
And the betting guys kept talking about their injuries and how concerned they were with Ole Miss, like, every week, and every week they covered.
Right, right.
Auburn, it depended on the matchup.
Yep.
So, if you had a defense that could shut down the run and make Bo Nix beat you, that was the read on Auburn. It was easy.
Yep.
All the way to the Alabama game.
Yep.
So I get what you're saying there. Here's the thing from Alabama that makes me nervous.
Okay.
They slipped by and had to hold on against 6-6 LSU.
Yes.
They slipped by and had to go to overtime to get past 6-6 Auburn.
Yeah, three overtimes.
So Georgia played Patsy, you know.
Whoever it was.
Yeah. Charleston or whoever it was. It didn't matter. And then Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So is it actually better to play the nastier team where you're completely mentally focused, or is it actually better to get guys some rest and play some games you know you're going to win?
Man,
that's kind of where I am. In terms of mentally, here's the other thing, Slay. Georgia knows they're in the college football playoff regardless of what happens.
This is true.
So how much of a factor is that, do you think?
I think this bunch that they have, if this was any other time of the time we've been alive and we're watching this, Georgia has a different funk and nastiness about them. F-U-N-K, people, is what I said. Funk.
They got some dog funk.
They got some dogs, man.
Those dogs are out there, man.
Dude, what game was I watching? I can't remember what game it was, but Georgia put their starters back in the game in a goal. It might have been Missouri, in a goal line situation, in order to not let – it was less than a minute left. Kirby put his guys back in there, Jordan Davidson back out there on the field, in order not to let Missouri get in the box. Like, that means you got some different type of pride. You taking upon yourself to say, you know what, we ain't giving up three, we ain't giving up seven, we ain't giving up nothing. And they didn't give it up. So, hey, man, I believe in them. I think they're playing for a different goal. And what's scary about them, this is what's scary about them. The defense is who they are. Now it's like all of a sudden, like the last 3 weeks, and I know they ain't played nobody, but the offense is saying, nah, hold on. If we ever get into a jam, we can pull it out too. Started with the Tennessee game. The Tennessee game, we were looking at it like, oh, wait a minute. Are they going to be able to put up points with it? And, man, they answered. Like, a lot of teams went down 10-0. I mean, not 10-0. Been down 10 or went down 14 to Tennessee. They didn't. They came back and answered with a quick strike. And it's like, whoa, hold on. They doing this
because
offense?
Honestly, they hadn't been in that position.
Exactly.
Like you're saying. And, I mean, they were down 7-0.
Yeah.
Largest deficit of the season after one drive.
Yeah, right.
They were down 10-7 after the first quarter.
Yep.
Didn't matter.
Nah.
They're going to
do what
they do.
And that's what the defense thinks. The defense is like, man, we'll hold it, man. Y'all get it together over there, but we got it. I promise. And if you ain't careful, we'll mess around and score for you. Dude, this is a special bunch by Georgia. So I'm all in. You said at the beginning of the season, you thought this was their year to win the national championship, and it's looking like it. Anytime you can put Jordan Davis in and give him the ball like Refrigerator Perry, you got a special bunch.
I'm looking at the Georgia-Alabama line at 7.5. You might find
now that's
they're trying to get you to go Alabama.
They show
there.
Off. They show off.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're looking for value, that is a value number for Alabama, I would say.
And that hook, boy, that hook right there.
I got Georgia at 6.5. I don't know what I would do at 7.5, honestly.
Goodness gracious.
I was kind of surprised to see that. I just pulled it up while you were talking.
Yeah, and that's what
so,
I looked at. Like,
here's okay, so from an Alabama perspective, again, if you want in on this game, 615-737-1045, is Brian Robinson going to be able to go at running back? They're already banged up at running back.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out of the Auburn game, didn't go back in.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to go? And if he goes, how much of him is there, right? Like,
yeah.
So if Alabama can't run the football, which they're going to have a hard time running against Georgia anyway, but if you're putting Bryce in those obvious passing situations
mm-hmm.
against that defense,
mm-hmm.
those windows are going to be tight. Because, look, Alabama's receivers are good. They're not what they were.
Right.
And I like Mechie. We met him at SEC Media Days, more of an underneath guy. What is Bryce able to do in obvious passing situations against that defense? I think that's key from a Georgia perspective offensively. It's the same thing we've said all year.
Yeah.
Nobody's been able to do it, right? Yep. Like, shut them down on first down, make it second and long, make it third and long.
Right.
And make Georgia have to pass in obvious passing situations, and it's not third and three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's the recipe. Nobody's been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Alabama's got a really good run defense, not such a good pass defense.
Right.
I think that Georgia would be smart to throw an early downs.
Yeah.
And we'll see if they kind of go against their self-analysis there.
Right.
And maybe throw on first down a little bit to try to open them up.
A guy you got to be careful of, and this is Georgia. I know you can stop guys one-on-one. You got the athletes in each position to stop guys one-on-one. Are you too prideful a little bit to play a little zone? Because Jameson Williams
will get down the field.
He can take the top off. And we saw what happened when he left the Auburn game. That's another reason why that game was so tight. They were able to key in on Metchie. Metchie, like you said, he's a possession receiver. So he's not going to burn you by taking the roof off 50, 60 yards every play. Jameson Williams can take the roof off every single play. So
Metchie can get you if it's third and three, though.
Yeah, he's going to get you.
That's why I'm concerned about Alabama from a running position.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick Saban said, what Nick Saban's going to say, day-to-day.
Yeah.
Right, with the hamstring pull.
Yeah.
I think what I thought in the offseason, just talking to people around the league, my thought on Georgia hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I thought for a second Ohio State might have the talent and the explosiveness on offense to maybe get them. Michigan exposed them a little bit and obviously beat them. But Georgia's the best team in football. Nothing's changed there.
Yeah.
Georgia is the odds-on favorite to win the national championship, and it's not close. So nothing's changed there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they finally get it done. Now, when you're talking about Alabama being an underdog, I'll hit you with some numbers. What you got?
I was going to say, another question that I had going into this, can this Georgia O-line bully the Alabama defense, their front line? Now, if they win in the trenches, this game not even going to be close. But if Alabama can hold fort, and Georgia offensive line has gotten better over the season. Like, they didn't start out as strong, but, man, they are pushing people around. They can push Alabama around, which that's their strength you just talked about. It could be a problem.
Can Georgia get over the hump? So how much of this psychological stuff gets in the way? How much psychological stuff locks you up as an athlete? Like, because I've been around some of the best coaches that are out there, and you have too.
Yep.
And one of the things that sticks out to me in terms of common messages, play free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But Georgia is doing that. They're playing with complete freedom. And it's funny on defense. You know, we were talking about the matchup with the Alabama offense. They don't get exotic on defense, man. They just line up. They rush four.
That's what it is.
And you throw it in front of them, they come up and hit you hard.
Very continuously.
So how much of the psychology can be a lockup? Bama has been a favorite in 92 consecutive football games. This is the first game Alabama's not a favorite since 2015.
Wow.
They were a one-point underdog to Georgia. The last time they were an underdog. One-point underdog to Georgia in 2015. Bama won 38-10.
Yeah.
They have been an underdog under Nick Saban three times. Three?
That's tough.
He's been there since 2007.
That's tough.
Here are the three. I mean, this is easy, right?
Yeah.
So Bama's been an underdog under Nick Saban three times. 2008, the SEC championship game was the last time they were this big of an underdog. They were a 10-point underdog to Florida and lost 31-20. In 2008, in 2009, we'll get to 15. In 2009, the SEC title game, the very next year, they were a 5-point underdog to Florida and Tim Tebow and those guys, Percy Harvin, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Tebow and the Gators 32-13 as a 5-point underdog. And then 2015 against Georgia, 1-point underdog, 138-10. So they've been an underdog three times under Nick Saban. They've won two of those games. They're a six, now 7.5-point underdog in this matchup. I love Georgia to win this football game. I do.
I think they do, man.
But am I scared as a a guy that's been around college football for
yes.
as long as I have about Alabama not only covering but winning. Yeah.
It's only right. It's only right.
We've all seen him.
It's only right. Like, we've seen it. And I will say, even if this Georgia bunch is a confident one, and I believe they are, it got to creep in your head at some point. If this is a close game coming down to the wire, Alabama can get it done.
Yeah.
But I don't think it even gets that close.
Listen, Bryce Young's talented enough to make off-script plays yep. and make big plays, scoring plays off-script.
Yep.
The biggest problem I have with Alabama is their offensive line is not very good.
Yeah.
So Georgia's going to get after
Oh, he's talking about dogs.
And they're not
back.
And they're not going to have to blitz to do it.
No.
615-737-1045. Breaking down some of these championship week games. Cincinnati, are they for real? We'll talk about that. Also, getting into a little Oregon, Utah, Western Kentucky against UT San Antonio trying to win Conference USA. Oklahoma State, Baylor. We got some good games to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1045. Brent Doherty, Ron Slay, Don Davenport off today as we broadcast live at T-Mobile in Green Hills. Kirby thinks you sound like Flip Wilson doing Geraldine. That's what Kirby
Who,
thinks.
Me?
Yeah. yeah. When you did your Green Hills voice.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
yeah. That's what I'm rolling with from now on, people. Hey, man, I'm getting this parlay together, and, Mayor, you are right.
What am I right about?
It ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
It ain't easy, man, because.
It ain't easy, Wheezy, being cheesy.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what is easy.
Or greasy.
I tell you what is easy right now.
What?
Just taking the under on Georgia and Alabama. I tell you right now. Jump. I already got my – I wrote my score down during the break, man. I almost told you. But I wrote it down. I'm going to tell you at the end of the show.
My wife did that the other day. She was like, oh, man, I meant to tell you this story. Hang on. I'll tell you later. I'm like, what are you, Ron Slay?
I like it, Kelly. That's what I'm talking. Wait, hey, with your boy.
Like, Slay does that on air.
I do.
Here's one I like. Ooh. Georgia, Alabama, under 10 and a half in the first quarter. Slow rolling early. Makes you nervous?
Yeah.
It all makes me nervous this week.
Oh. Ooh, man.
How about Western Kentucky at UT San Antonio? Minus 2.5 when I got it. I love Western. Todd Furman likes Western, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Todd Furman did say, but he said take take Western Kentucky on the money line if it got over 2.5. I think.
I'm trying
could be wrong,
to
but
find that game.
A lot of the people are picking Western Kentucky.
Oh, there it is.
-3.5.
So. -3.5.
Yep.
I got 2.5. I feel fortunate. Brandon Sabbath, quarterback, 4,968 yards passing, almost 5,000 yards passing in a college football 12-game season. 70% completion percentage. Check this out. 52 touchdown passes.
Wow.
Leads
talking about light it up.
The nation.
That's how you light it up. You know what? I'm about to bet on that right now. On air. I just took that one.
Is this like the parlay or not?
It can be.
We'll see.
The Oregon and Utah is tonight. That's part of the parlay.
See, is that game tonight?
Yes.
See, I haven't even dove down far enough in there.
See?
Oregon, Utah. See, they're trying to draw you in on
they
that
are.
One. Utah trying to draw you in with that home win against Oregon where they just blasted the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
They just took the Ducks. They turned them upside down, held them by the feet, and then got that fake gun out that used to have a cord to your Atari 2600 and yeah. shot it. That's what they did.
Duck hunt.
Right in the head. They just shot that duck right in the head.
That's the duck hunt.
And I want to say that we'll get PETA after us.
Well, I mean, that's what happened.
It did happen.
That was the game.
It sure was.
And that was the game.
And that was the game. That was the game, and that was the game.
So I like Oregon in this one, and I think you do too, right?
Yes.
Am I right with
yes.
you there?
Yes.
Oregon 4-0 in Pac-12 championship games. Utah blew them out.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a thought. I was listening to the Bet the Board podcast. Yep. Pain Insider choked me up. I got a piece of bacon down my windpipe, I think.
From the Music City dog.
Yeah, and he said, look, the altitude thing is a real thing. So Utah has at least a 3-point home field advantage, whereas most teams are about 2.5. Florida State, they will tell you, we'll get Todd on this one day. Florida State typically, historically, is about a one-point favorite at home.
Wow.
I don't know why that is, but they are.
What they
so
doing?
Utah's like 3 points at home, and they said altitude has a lot to do with it. That they get you gassed in that run game, and you can't do anything.
Wow.
So now Utah is a three-point favorite at home. They're a three-point favorite on a neutral site, which is another reason I think to take Oregon. Here's the one thing that gives me pause about Oregon is Joe Moorhead's probably headed to Akron, the offensive coordinator of the Ducks.
Yep.
Probably headed to Akron as head coach. But I don't know. Utah, to me, and you played college athletics. Utah ran the ball all over Oregon. I mean, totally just took their manhood, held it above their head, and then threw it in the river. Right?
Yeah.
So Oregon had to go watch that on film.
Yes.
Does that embarrass a student athlete enough to come out and want to kill Utah in the rematch?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, especially the pride. Like, what you got to realize, man, once you embarrass Oregon, you do a little more than just embarrassing the university because of who's behind it. Nike's behind it. Like, we give y'all, you got these uniforms, and, like, we show out for y'all. Come on, man. Put a good product on the field. So I think Oregon comes out and answers the bell. And matter of fact, an early parlay. Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? Early parlay.
Kids of all ages.
Kids of all ages all around the world gather around the campfire. Uncle Slay got something to tell you. Listen to me.
I like Preacher Slay.
You like
him? Sure, I do.
Yeah. Look, listen to me, people. Grab your s'mores, put your sticks and everything down. You can pick it back up after this. Pay close attention. Take Western Kentucky and the spread with Oregon and the spread. Boom. There you go. Take that. That's an early sleigh present. You're welcome. I pulled that right out of the sleigh.
What if I went Oregon money line?
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oregon's the underdog here.
Oh, I didn't even see that, boy. I just jumped out. Guess what, people?
Hey, we're going to be talking to Mark Mariani at 420.
Oh.
And he may not need the points. I don't know. Yeah, I don't need the points on this.
He don't want them. And guess what I'm going to do? Early sleigh Christmas present, people. Go back in after making that bet and bet it again. I'm going to go in there and bet it again. I just bet it one more time. And what I'm telling you is.
Did you really?
I'm doing it right now. I'm taking Oregon. I got the money line at +115. And I'm going to go up there and get Western. And I bet it one more time, people. Look at that. Boom, boom. I always bet 35 in my parlay because that's my number. Boom. Bang.
We'll continue to run through some college football games. Championship weekend. We don't have the Titans to talk about this weekend.
Awesome.
Thankfully.
We're just everywhere.
We do have five guys that are coming off IR, scheduled to come off IR.
Finally.
After this weekend or for next weekend's games. We'll talk about that at some point, but we'll hit some of these other games. Oklahoma State, Baylor.
Houston, Cincinnati.
615-737-1045.